gentlemen. I want to welcome you to another late night preaching event and service. I told you that I would preach the gospel each and every day for 100 days straight. I didn't tell you when, because it does vary for various and sundry reasons. But I do want to thank all of you who follow us, no matter what time we have services, as we are reaching a worldwide audience. For I think it's about 6 o'clock in England right now in the morning, and around 8 o'clock down in certain parts of Africa in the morning. So this, which might be a nightcap service for you, is a devotional service for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. The story of Jesus and the Graveyard Demoniacs, Part 7. You cannot make this up. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 627, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 994, since January the 1st, 2016. Turn in your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, to Matthew chapter 8. And tonight, let's look at verse 33. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city. So when they ran, they just kind of went every which way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. You know how it is when the major news story breaks like this. Folks go running, and when they get to the people or to a crowd or to a newspaper reporter, they're winded, they're out of breath, and they're trying to explain to you what they saw. And behold, the whole city, the news traveled fast. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they did not greet him. They did not see him as a champion, as a conqueror. They did not welcome him as a hero, as they should have. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Holy Father God, we are weak, but thou art strong. We praise you, and we thank you for using us many, many times at our lowest and our weakest. And Lord, we know that you're able tonight not only to preach your holy word, but to serve in the church ministry and to hear your holy word and then to repent and do it. And so, Holy Father God, these are dark days, these are difficult days, these are perilous times, and the devil is busy. So have mercy and grace upon us where we have sinned against you in any way, where we have done evil or wrong in any way in our lives, in our hearts, our words, our deeds. For Jesus Christ's sake, please Forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. For we noticed an uptick of the devil working right after that message last night. He is upset. We're not ignorant of his devices. This is not our first rodeo. Every time we deal with the devil, from your holy word and in the power of your Holy Spirit, the devil gets mad. And the devilish people rise up. People who have demons rise up and try to cause a problem. And so, Lord, I pray instead of having a demon resting in their being, that they would join us in praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, Lord, would cast out the demons so that the devils and the demons of hell will cease tearing their souls. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll cast out and chase away the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal, sabotage, foolishness, pride, hatred towards you, hatred towards Jesus, hatred towards the gospel going forward for lost people, a hatred for people being saved. That is all devilish. That is of the devil, and that is demonic. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ against it. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ against it. And Holy Father God, we pray for millions to hear the gospel and to be saved before it is eternally too late. For this may not only be their last night, it may be our last night. Help us not to be so arrogant to think that those who are dying in the news cannot one day be us. So Lord, open our blinded eyes and unstop our deaf ears and help us to stop feeling all smug and arrogant and proud and thinking that we're just so blessed God would not allow our demise to come before its time in our minds. So Lord, I pray, glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because if that is not done here tonight, we're here in vain. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, since it is late tonight, by the grace of God, we will be brief. In this record of Jesus casting out demons, now either this is a true story, non-fiction, or it is not. This is a true account of Jesus meeting two men who were demon-possessed. And evidently they had multiple demons because they ran a herd of swine to their death violently. This is a real matter. This is a serious situation, and sadly, like many other things the church ought to be dealing with and preaching about, I'm talking about Bible-believing, non-Catholic, Protestant, Christ-loving, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-reading, soul-winning, Baptists, Pentecostal, Evangelicals, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. Just like so many other things, we leave these things out. We do the other things, but we are not faithful like the Pharisees. We leave the other things undone. Hell is breaking loose in your family. Hell is breaking loose in your church. Hell is breaking loose in your community, your city, your county, your state, and your nation and the world. and you still, you're still ignoring the fact that there's a devil loose. And not until you confront that, along with some other issues, nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse, worse and worse and worse. And you're just going to be the engineer on the Titanic. You're going to continue to be on the the engineer of the Titanic, the captain of the Titanic, the pastor on the Titanic, the chaplain on the Titanic. And it's time to start singing some hymns, because the Titanic is going down. We see it everywhere. We see it every week. We see it every day. We have seen recently in this series, ladies and gentlemen, and I am thankful to God that my son, who helps me put together these sermons, has not run away from this. I told him that I want to stay there a while, and that's what he's doing. We've seen many strange things in recent days in this passage. Men dwelling in graveyards, demons from hell conversing with Jesus, their request to enter a herd of swine. You cannot make this up, people. I don't care if you're the Brothers Grimm. You cannot, in a million years, make this up. And then a stampede of suicidal swine. I know you don't like it. I know you don't want to hear it. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. This epidemic of so-called pastors, so-called bishops, so-called evangelists, so-called ministers of Christ, so-called preachers, blowing their brains out, committing suicide, telling their Father in heaven, I can't make it down here without you, and all of such, not the Heavenly Father, their Father who died, the one who called them into the ministry, when the boy was probably not called at all. The tragedy of parents wanting their sons to take the throne of the kingdom that they have built, and they have made a mess of things. My son told me as a little boy, he said, Papa, I want to preach like you. I said, that's good. We'll see. If God calls you, then preach, because I'm not going to call you. You got to be called to preach the gospel. And so time went past, and he got a little older, and I shocked him. I shocked the daylights out of him. I gave him the sermon that he wrote for me. Put him behind the pulpit. Put the camera on him. I said, preach. Well, it didn't go that well, and so I said, son, you're not called to preach. Maybe God will call you one day. One thing I know about a preacher who's called by God, they will preach. They don't need a crowd. They don't need an invitation. They will preach the gospel by any means necessary. You can't stop them if you tried. Be that as it may, but in this story, there is perhaps nothing stranger than the response of the community to Jesus and to these events. Jesus had delivered them from the terrorization of two demoniacs. You want to know what's behind the terrorists? The devil himself, the demons of hell. Anybody who gets the concept in their minds that they can grab a man by his hair and cut his head off is demon possessed. There's no psychological discussion or reason for that. This is inexplicable outside of the devil, outside of the demons of hell. Men who hunt down Christian women and rape them in front of their husbands, then cut their husbands' heads off or blow their brains out. They're demon-possessed grown men who will train a boy, 6 years old, how to blow somebody, a grown man's brains out. That's demon activity. That's demon possession, people. And we sit back in our little newsrooms and knock back our heads. Yes, it's a terrible thing that we're not going to show that video. It's just too horrifying. A little six-year-old boy just shot a grown man on his knees. And while the other terrorists were watching, they had trained him to do this. And we sit back and we try to psychoanalyze this demonic garbage from hell. It's comical almost how we sit around and we try to analyze these devils. They're full of hell and the devil, man. They're demon possessed. They're demon controlled. Anybody 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old, wait till the old lady go to bed at night and watch across the street, she's 85 years old, 83 years old, can hardly walk. They wait for the night light to go off and they go run over there, 3 and 4 of them, like little hyena devils from hell. Not only take the little $3 or $4 she has, not only raid the refrigerator, not only take the television, but rape the old lady and kill her. Are you kidding me? And we sit back and there's something wrong in our society. Young black men need jobs, and that's why they are robbing old ladies and raping old ladies, because they need jobs. They need for the police to go easy on them and give them a break. And all kinds of stupid foolishness from hell. Laws are passed. Measures are passed. Movies are made. People march. And nothing changes. Chicago is a graveyard engineered by demons. All these young men need is, you know, basketball courts and they need football uniforms so they can get out there and run off their aggression. Have you lost your mind? They need Jesus. Just like these two demoniacs. They need Jesus. Amen, somebody. They need Jesus. And somebody who knows how to pray in the name of Jesus and cast the demons out of these people. The only reason why you're not out killing somebody and marauding all down the street acting the fool is because somebody told you about Jesus. Jesus had delivered them from the terrorization of the two demoniacs that made venturing outside and around the corner near the graveyard beyond unsafe. But life-threatening. He restored the men, two members of their own community, guys they knew before in a very real sense, to their sanity. The swine herders, the pig herders, who apparently had been watching these events from a safe distance. But that's all they were, was swine herders. You know what they do? They just herd swine. They just out there with a stick, a cane, and you know, dressed in their garb, and they, you know, that's what the swine shepherds do. They just observe. They went into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. The Bible says, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, at the beginning here, you thought, well, wow, okay. They're getting ready to honor Jesus and respect Jesus, put him on their shoulder and bring him into the city. Here, now we can walk by the graveyard. Now we can go and put flowers on the grave of our loved ones, man, wonderful, this is great. But that's not the case. The Bible says, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Have you ever felt unwanted? Just keep on living. You keep on standing for Jesus. Keep on standing for God. Kevin Hart feels unwanted tonight. The multi-talented Kyla, right from the Dallas area, feels unwanted tonight. How can a USA Today journalist condemn a boy just barely out of high school for some foolishness like he brought up? And what the boy said was right. 14 years old, he said what he thought was the truth. But it's wrong for grown folk to come after this young boy right at the height of the greatest moment, not only of his life, but his family's life, his city's life, his church's life, really one of the high moments in the nation. A young man, he's not really that big of a fella to be so awesome at playing quarterback and playing baseball. There's a devil loose. And what we're doing today is precisely what the Bible says we would do. Calling that which is evil, good. Making people who are stating what they believe to be true, stating what they believe to be righteous. Kevin Hart is right. It would be tragic for his son to grow up and be a homosexual. And all of a sudden, that's such a bad thing to say. And we're doing precisely what the Bible says in this society, calling that which is evil, good. And it is not good. I don't care who likes it. I don't care what they think about it. The truth is the truth. And people in this country particularly ought to be able to say the truth. There's a devil loose seeking to twist and to turn around what God has said for thousands of years. Be that as it may, what a strange reaction to such deliverance. You feeling lonely yet? Stand for God. Stand for the gospel. Stand for biblical truth. And you will be ostracized. You will be unwanted, like Jesus was. Jesus did something good. He cast out devils. He cast out demons from the people that were terrorizing them, former friends, and these were family members who didn't even know these boys anymore. They might have been able to handle one, but they had two. And Jesus delivered them. And they were sitting there, clothed and in their right mind. Hey, Chad, how you doing? Man, it's been a while. Yeah, man, you know, something possessed me, man. I don't know what it was. I don't know how I opened the door, man, but it just took me for a loop, man. It took me on a trip. All right there, Jeb. Good to see you, man. Clothed and in your right mind, and you're not running around naked just trying to scare people. Man, it's so good to see you. Y'all so calm and peaceful. What happened? this man, I don't know, man, this man named Jesus, man, he hooked me right on up, man. I think y'all need to try him, because I tell you what, man, I was out there, man. I was wild as the devil. What? What? Oh, man, you won't even be able to imagine some of the crazy things that were running through my mind, man. I was thinking about killing you. I was thinking about killing everybody who came around that corner. Talking about they want to see somebody in the grave. I ran them out of here, man. I was crazy. I was wild until I met this man, Jesus, named Jesus. He got off a ship, came on up here and delivered me. Amen, somebody. What a strange reaction to this display of authority, might and power, and love and grace. Jesus just cleaned up the situation right quick. And this is what he gets, and this is what you're going to get. Have you ever been in a situation as a child of God and you saw the problem? You had the solution. You applied the word of God. You prayed with the people. This is what you need to do. Here's the light. Walk ye in it. And they turned against you. How are we to understand the mentality of the people in this region? Had the demons messed up their mind? See, this is residual impact of satanic possession, my friends. The devil possessing somebody in your family, the devil possessing somebody in your church, the devil possessing somebody on your block has a terrifying, terrorizing impact on the minds of others. And as long as that demon is controlling that person in that situation, the worse the impact. So it needs to be dealt with quickly. I encourage you to call on the name of Jesus. You don't need it. Listen to me very carefully. You don't need an exorcist. You don't need a priest coming in tossing water around. You don't need no seance type situation. You need to start praying and fasting. Jesus gave us the solution. We have people in our family, ladies and gentlemen, in our families that we need to pray and fast for. Families ought to fast together for demon-possessed people in their lives. You say, I don't know if he's demon-possessed. He might just have a little mental problem. Listen to me very carefully. You will know them by their fruits. If they're constantly walking around murmuring to themselves about, I want to kill myself, the person that you're dealing with is demon-possessed. They are always in the room sharpening knives and looking at weapons and guns, and your child or husband or wife, whoever they may be, is demon-possessed. You caught somebody pouring some poison in somebody's water. You just passed by the door and saw somebody pouring some poison in somebody's water at the house. That person is demon-possessed. If you're afraid to eat what they prepared for you, you're afraid all the time, something's wrong somewhere. You will know them by their fruits. If they're not truly saved, they're not truly born again, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what are they filled with? Probably a demon. If it looks like a demon, talks like a demon, got eyeballs like a demon, walks like a demon, acts like a demon, smells like a demon, it is a demon. Dear friends, stop trying to wish for something that it is not. Stop deceiving yourselves. Stop lying to yourself. If it ain't right, it ain't right. This is not anything hard. This is not rocket science. A person who is saved and born again and been saved a while, we're not talking about young babes in Christ, but 10, 15, 20 years saved and has been taught the word of God and taught how to pray and everything, And they still got the head down, can't look you in the eye, grumbling, obscenities, cussing you out, violent behavior, demonic looking eyes popping out of their heads, duping the like grins coming out of their souls, out of their spirits that they can't control. That's not a psychological issue, my dear friend. The person is demon possessed. And or demon oppressed. Black, white, red, yellow. Right there in your family, right there in your church. You correct somebody in the church and they kick and buck and fall down all on the ground in the church. Because you're trying to correct a situation, crawling over the floor, showing the underclothes and all this. There's something wrong, man. No Christian ought to act like that. And so in closing today, ladies and gentlemen, I have a whole lot more to preach. But even I have to eat and sleep. And I need to take a break myself after such a long day. I've been up since 4-something this morning. And I need to get some other folks to sleep as well who've been up with me. And Dr. John MacArthur said, we are not told exactly what the people from the city thought of Jesus. We can get an idea from how they responded to him, what they said to him. Jesus told the demons very simply to go. The people came out from the city and told Jesus very simply, you must go. You got to get it. You got to get back on the ship. And I can imagine them, they said with a straight face, because this is, you know, they put their head, I'm sure they put their hand on their forehead, so this is just too much. You got to go, man. I don't know who you are. I know you got some kind of powers and things, but you got to get up out of here. Wow, man, this is too much. Our newspapers cannot even contain this, man. Get back on the ship. Please, go back to where you came from. Little did they know that Jesus, being Jesus, took that trip over there and braved the storm and everything to do precisely what he did. We only know, beloved, that according to Dr. John MacArthur, that they had a glimpse of the supernatural, and it caused them to panic. It shook them up. You just get around some town folks, some village folks. The height of their day is drinking a cup of brew, or going down to the pub. Reading a little normal news in the newspaper. They're not, these people are not ready for, first of all, they knew the demons. They knew, these are, this was kind of a thing. These are the demons we know. Kind of thing. So they pretty much had kind of just said, we just won't go down to the graveyard anymore. Let the dead be with the dead, because we can't go down there because they trying to kill us. The demoniacs. What's his name? Son. Rufus's son. And Victor's son down there. And they're crazy. And so they, eat their breakfast, their porridge. Bless their hearts. They might drink a little tea. And later in the evening, they'll meet down at the pub, and talk about these demoniacs. When the last time you seen one of them, Joe? These are very simple people. It's village people. Little city people. This is too much. They can't handle this. This is too big for them. They don't know what to say. They're in a panic. All I'm saying, I don't know what's going on here, but listen, sir, we didn't have these disturbances and all this here moving around, and our our source of income and source of food, because we love that swine and being destroyed in the sea. Now the water's polluted. I don't know what we're going to do. None of this happened. We had the status quo before you came, Jesus. But right now, you got to go. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I don't know what you did. I don't know what's happening here. But we didn't have this kind of situation like this before you came. So please find your ship, get your ticket, and head on back over to the other side where you came from. Because this is too much. We're messed up for years by your quick little visit. We don't even want to get to know you. We cannot allow you to stay any longer than what you've already stayed. They were out of their minds. The city council people, the mayor, whatever. You and your disciples, hit it. They saw one who could control demons, one who could control animals, and who could restore shattered minds to godly sanity, and they wanted nothing to do with him. Earth's madness, heaven's gladness, and hell's sadness. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to cut it off abruptly, but I'm going to do that tonight and pick it up here tomorrow, Thursday, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live. I'll be preaching on prayer tomorrow by the grace of God. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for being here with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for getting the message across to the people here and everywhere. And Lord, help us to take heed. Help us to see our sin. Help us to see our foolishness. When Jesus works and changes people and we turn away from him, we who know his power and his might and his grace turn away from him and turn to fables, turn to psychobabble, turn to foolishness. Have mercy, Lord, and grace upon us all, and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, cast out devils and cast out demons out of the hearts and minds and lives of anybody who has that problem here and out there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. Deliver souls from devils and demons, and deliver souls from hell tonight. Deliver Christians, Lord, who are so backslidden that they have gotten away from you in a big way, and they have a hard time finding their way back. Have your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us to get to where we need to be and to start praying and stop playing and stop straying. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, and tonight, you may be seated. If you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, in the free pardon of your sins, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation tonight from sin and not only the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how old you are, young you are, handsome you are, or handsome you think you are, all of that beautiful form is dying as I'm speaking. Now you can walk into Walmart. One day you're going to be on one of those little carts. And then one day you're going to be in an ambulance. The next day you're going to be in a funeral home car, a hearse, and driven to a grave and dropped in the ground. That's how horrifying and terrible death is for those, particularly who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Death is bad because sin is bad. We die because of sin. And if we die without trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, we go to a place called hell. Jesus Christ himself preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a place of darkness, outer darkness, Jesus said. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. And it would behoove you to repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said it best in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin forever in hell. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you're willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including your sins and mine, that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and is at the right hand of the Father today. So pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments in many ways. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in the sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive the free gift of salvation through you, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow and not only repent but to turn, Lord, from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life on into heaven. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you have received him into your heart and called upon his name, and you meant what you prayed, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is accepting Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved. God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.